That has become one of my favorite songs lately. City of Light sings that. And if you're not familiar with City of Light, A-L-I-G-H-T, they take a lot of the gospel songs and put them into hymns, kind of like that. I find that the kind of the blending of that, the contemporary with the hymns, is really a soulful kind of expression of the faith. So I really appreciate that. Well, Janet and I missed being with you last week. I would have rather been with you last week. We had a week of hurricane-forced winds and rain, and it was cold. We got out one day on Friday for about 5 hours. We were able to quick get to the beach and then go do this with the grandkids. Other than that, I lost 321 games to my grandchildren. I wasn't the one keeping score. They're the ones. Have you noticed that you didn't win a game yet? Yeah, I noticed. Stop rubbing it in. But I understand the baptism went well, and thank you so much for receiving Peter Santana. He texted me and said that he really had a wonderful, wonderful reception here. He really appreciated the love of the congregation and the prayers, and feels like he has an extended family. Now he's extended his knowledge of the family of God, and Lebanon has become a part of that. So I'll try to keep you posted on what's happening with Peter. He's just a wonderful young man who loves the Lord and loves the Word and wants to bring Jesus to many, many people in Indonesia. Well, let's pray. Gracious Jesus, I thank you that you are strong and kind. I thank you that your love for us is unknowable by us, the depth of it. But you keep coming and you keep searching and you keep loving and you keep finding us. Even when we get lost, when we're broken, when we're in pain, you come because you're strong and you are kind. And the gospel of your death and resurrection and your coming again is our food. It's our manna, because we know that there is nothing in this world that can separate us from your love, from your grace, from your truth, from your salvation. We are so grateful for your presence in our midst. I pray, come, Holy Spirit. Take this word this morning and minister your word to our hearts in a way that we can hear it, that we can be touched by it, that we can be broken by it, that we can come to you and realize that you are the fragrance that comes out of our lives as we trust in your death and resurrection and as we abide in you. Minister your word to us, Holy Spirit, so that we can live it Monday through Saturday. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to dip into Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. The first dip is going to be in chapter 2, beginning with verse 14. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God. And then we go to the fourth chapter, beginning to read with verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that Jesus' life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on what is seen. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Well, I was allowing the word to kind of saturate my heart this week, and I went to, I think it's called Wingdings or Wing Things or something like that with my grandchildren, where you can, you know, like buy everything. So I'm looking around, and I come to this plaque, and it says, old fishermen never die, they just smell that way. And that reminded me of this scripture that I was reading. Of carnal Christianity, that no matter how much you try to look good, it always has the smell of death about it. It stinks. It's a repulsive odor. However, there is something refreshing about my wife when she puts on her perfume and she walks into the room and very subtly, I am able to imbibe the richness of the beautiful aroma. Inside joke, I'll tell you sometime. I'll tell you about that sometime. Now, this aroma does not overpower you. But when she leaves the room, the sweet, fragrant fragrance lingers for a while. And it's beautiful. And it's wonderful. And our scripture today is Paul reminding us of this distinct, sweet smell of the Spirit of God, where Jesus invades our hearts, takes over our lives, and then brings forth the smell of his fruit, the fruit of the Spirit that lives in the believer's heart. And I have discovered that there are congregations like Lebanon where the Spirit of God is active, where the Spirit of God brings forth a sweet fragrance of bouquet of the presence of Christ that fills you as the body of Christ. And I have experienced these last 5 months the sweet richness of the bouquet of the aroma of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your lives and in this fellowship. And what God wants us to do is open the windows. And He wants us to let the breeze out. Because God has a purpose for that aroma. It wasn't so that you smell good. Because in and of yourself, you don't. It is so the world may catch a sniff of what it looks like when Christ followers are filled with the fruit of the Spirit and the fragrance of the perfume that only Jesus can provide. He starts with a look at authentic Christianity. And authentic Christianity is described in 2 Corinthians 2:14. Paul paints a picture here. Paul writes, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place." We just celebrated Easter, Good Friday and Easter. Good Friday and Easter represent that procession. It is Christ who comes into the world, whose purpose was to yield His heart to the Father's will. The Father's will was that the Son would go to the cross and die for the sins of all humanity. And then rise again. And in triumph, come up out of the grave. We follow Jesus out of the grave. You even heard me singing that on Easter. Come out of the grave. Because this is a triumphal procession. We are not unredeemed sinners who have to justify ourselves and hang our head. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. And it is Christ's triumph in His death and resurrection that has become our triumph, so that we can rise triumphantly with Christ in this world, and we can go out in the brokenness. We can go out into the pain. We can go out into the disillusionment. And believe me, when you do that, the sweet smell of authentic Christianity is going to stink in the nostrils of this world. Have you discovered that yet? To the world, the sweet smell of Christ's death and resurrection stinks. And so if we go out into the world and we try to share Jesus without realizing the reality of where people are, it is an affront to people's nostrils when they hear about Jesus in this world. And so what do? And that's what Paul is speaking to here. How can we be a fragrance for Christ, living victoriously His triumphant life, right? So that we can be a sweet aroma in the nostrils of unbelievers. And that's what Paul is addressing here today. Now, if you're not interested in going out and having an unbeliever become a believer, then this probably would not apply to you today. You can say, well, I think I smell good enough. It's not about you. It's not about you. Just as Jesus' death and resurrection was not about Him, it was what the Father was doing in and through Him. So it's not about me. It's not about you. Because we're going to find out that God's way of bringing perfume to the world is to crush. It is to break. It is when we are in pain that we are most susceptible to the aroma that God wants to take the flask break it so that his sweet aroma can get out into this world. So Paul begins by telling us that we are former enemies of God that have been conquered by the truth of Jesus and by his grace. We're former enemies, but we're no longer enemies. Now we are a fragrant aroma of God's goodness and God's grace. So Paul had in mind here a Roman procession. And when they came back to the city of Rome after they were out plundering, the first thing they did was they built a triumphal arch. And then everybody in the procession had to go through that arch. And it's kind of like the parades that we have at the judges' stand, you know? That's where they put the bleachers. So they're sitting on the bleachers, and what are they seeing? First, they're seeing the city officials go by. And then they're seeing the Senate go by. And after the Senate, the trumpeters. Da-da-da-da-da! Anybody else trumpet better than I can? Go ahead, anytime. And then come the soldiers. And the soldiers are bringing the spoils of their conqueror. And then after the soldiers, there are pictures. Somehow they paint pictures of the conquest. And they hold up the pictures as they're going by, because if you weren't there to see the conquest, then you can look at it on the pictures. And after that, there's a white bull that will be offered as a sacrifice. And then come the captive rulers. And they're in chains. They're in bondage. All of those who survived the plunder. And now they're brought through the arch. And then the musicians. And then the priests. And the priests are swinging the incense. They're swinging the incense. Everything gets covered with the aroma of the incense. And then comes the four-star general. And then the four white horses. It is a picture of Christ's glorious triumph on the cross and his resurrection, but it's also a picture of his triumphal entry when he comes again. Because he will come again, the scripture says. Just as he left, he will come again. Christ is the universal conqueror, marching in triumph down through the corridors of time. What are we doing? We're coming and surrendering. We are surrendering to Christ. We are surrendering to his death and his resurrection. We are, as Paul said in Galatians 2:20, we no longer live. We no longer live. It's Christ now who lives in us. He has conquered our hearts. And those who march along in the procession of Christ are emitting everywhere the sweet fragrance of the knowledge of Christ. We triumph as we abide in Christ. Paul says that's authentic Christianity. There's always a grace and a fragrance of his grace that is being emitted through the believer that is pleasing to the nostrils of God. Look at verse 2, verse 15 and 16. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death, to another, an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? The New Testament teaches the priesthood of all believers. The pastor is not the only priest in the congregation. Let me say that again. The pastor was never meant to be the only priest in the congregation. We are a priesthood of believers. The Latin word for priest is bridge builder. We are God's bridge to the world, to those who are unsaved and to those who are saved. We are God's bridge of the gospel. And the reason that we come together is so that we might be able to encourage one another in the priesthood. All of the gifts of the priesthood have been given to the body. And those gifts are offered freely as the Holy Spirit dwells in each believer as we become priests in the world. As we abide in Christ, we spread the sweet fragrance of His gospel. The gospel of Jesus brings a sweet fragrance in those who are being saved. It has the aroma of victory. It is incense. And in Romans chapter 12, we know what the incense is. It's a sacrifice of praise to our God. That is incense to God's nostrils. We are called to be a body making living sacrifices for Christ that are holy and pleasing to God. However, for those in this world that reject Christ, that same aroma is an aroma of death, because judgment is at hand. To those who reject the message of the gospel, it is the smell of death. So if you see somebody reacting as though what you just shared was the smell of death, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. And don't hold back from sharing it because of the way people that are going to respond. Because you have nothing to do with it. It is the gospel that is penetrating the culture. That's our joy. That is our sacrifice. We do what we have to do to bring authentic Christianity to this culture. And it is in us that Christ brings forth the aroma. So you're not doing anything but dying. That's all we're doing. We die so that Christ can live. So they're responding to the aroma, and it smells like death to the unbeliever. So don't be surprised. Just take it. Oh, it looks like it smells like death to you. It looks like you're having a hard time with something that smells really good to me. Tell me about it. Why is that so stinky to you? And you know what you're going to hear? You're going to hear a story of when the gospel became stinky to the person. And it's still stinky because of what they believe about the gospel. What they believe about Jesus, it still stinks to them. And if we don't listen, and we don't absorb it, and we don't take it, and we don't die to ourselves, well, who do you think you are? I'm a priest in the house of God. And you dare to act that way in front of me. Paul says that's going to happen. It's going to stink to the person that the Holy Spirit is trying to get a hold of their hearts so that they can understand and experience the gospel of Jesus. Now, Paul asks the question, who here is adequate for such a ministry as that? And the answer is, none of us. None of us are capable in our own strength. None of us are able in our own adequacy. Unless we abide in Christ, unless we continually die and are raised triumphant in Christ's resurrection. So every day it's death, resurrection, death, resurrection, death, resurrection, death, resurrection. Do you see a rhythm there? Death, resurrection. You see a pattern there? How's the world going to know what death and resurrection looks like if the world doesn't see it in Christ's followers? It's death, resurrection, death, resurrection. Something has to die before something can be raised. And it's the church that understands that. It's the church that is willing to become a flask that holds the aroma of Christ and is willing to be broken, is willing to be pained, so that Christ's aroma can make its way into this world. Because Paul says, if you have been filled with Christ and Christ lives in you, you begin to smell like him. Christ has an unmistakable fragrance, and you can smell it on someone who genuinely is a Christ follower. You can smell it. So Paul uses an unusual word to describe those who are insincere in the ministry of God's word. He says, it's like we're peddling God's word. And he says, you're peddling God's word in verse 17. When you peddle God's word, you're corrupting the word. He says, for we are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. The word for peddling means a huckster. It implies somebody who is kind of corrupting the gospel rather than letting it get a hold of you and maybe break you. You just take the gospel and here, dish it out. Here it is. That's peddling. Paul says, you don't need to peddle the word. Paul says, let Christ die in you. Let him live in you. You won't have to peddle anything. I'll do it. The Holy Spirit will do it in you. So Paul then returns to this in chapter 4, verse 7. He returns to the sweet fragrance in chapter 4, verse 7. And there he tells how God produces this lovely fragrance in our lives. And I'll tell you, when I first read the scripture, I was kind of surprised about the process that God chooses to set his aroma loose in the world. God has chosen to put the aroma, the fragrance, the treasure in clay pots, not in the fine china, in the clay pots. That's how God produces this fragrance in our lives. Paul writes in verse 7 of chapter 4, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. God uses clay pots to contain his fragrance. And the point Paul is making is that God's valuable treasure is contained in priests. In priests who are weak, who are fragile, who are breakable, who are able to be pained. God does not use beautiful flasks to house his fragrance. Fragile and flawed, cracked and leaky, clay pots, those are the vessels that God uses. Why, you ask? So that God can receive the glory. It becomes God who then receives the glory. So we have to come to grips with the reality that most of the time, clay pots have to be broken before they emit the sweet fragrance of God's grace. So Paul is able to say in verses 8 through 11, we're afflicted. We're afflicted in every way. How many of you can say this morning, yeah, I'm afflicted, but I'm not crushed. I'm afflicted, but I'm not crushed. And I'm allowing the affliction to be a means by which God touches me so that I can die, Christ can live, and His sweet fragrance can be enjoyed in this world. I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. I'm persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. I'm struck down, but I'm not destroyed. I'm always carrying about in my body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in my body. That's what Paul's saying. Affliction, despair, difficult time, death, opportunity. I'm carrying Christ's death around with me. Go ahead, I need to die. Christ dies in me, He lives in me. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal bodies. You know, I have to confess, I have not been in very many congregations where I've heard the prayer time go, God, would you afflict me? Would you afflict me this week so that your aroma can be experienced by the cashier at Food Lion? God, would you persecute Frank this week so that he comes to the end of his human rope so that he has to hang on and trust you for what you want to do in somebody's life in this community? I got to say, I don't hear that many prayers like that. I hear, God, keep me safe. God, keep me from going through this. Why? Why do we pray those prayers? When Paul says the prayer that we should be praying is, perplex me, crush me, break me, so that your fragrance can be enjoyed in this world. You know, I think he might be thinking of the Old Testament story of Gideon, who was called of God to deliver Israel from the hands of the Midian host which had come into the land. 32,000 men gathered to help. And God cuts the number down to 300. God told them, take these earthen jars, common clay pots, put candles in them, and during the darkness of night, circle the Midian camp. And at the signal of the sound of the trumpets, break the pots. Break, break, break the pots so that the light can spring forth to every side. And when they did that, the Midian army was demoralized. And they suddenly saw light springing up on the mountainside everywhere. And thinking that they were ringed by a huge army, they panicked and they killed each other. God, please put a beautiful shine on my glaze. Yes. Would you polish me, God? Would you paint me? Would you put something on the outside of me and then place me on a shelf somewhere? That's the kind of priest that I want to be. God, make me look good. Oh, yeah. Paul says, that's not the way that God does it. That's not how God produces His precious fragrance. You see, we don't produce the fragrance. Jesus does. And our job is to confess that we smell. That's our job. God's way of producing His fragrance in us is to take the pot and allow it to break. And then we admit that the smell that's coming from us is not very appealing. That's why we have confession. We confess that we're not God. We're not Jesus. We can't do it. My sin is too great. Left to my sin, you're going to get a stinky smell. God wants to release the fragrance of his presence through cracked pots. And Paul says in verse 11 of chapter 4, "For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body." Look at Paul's life. Read through the book of Acts. Afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. That was Paul's life. That was the process God used to release the fragrance in Paul's life. What is the process that he may be using in your life today? In my life today? He does this so that only he will get the glory. We can't point to our triumphs and say, "Well, look at that. Look how great I am." We can't say, "Look what I have done." He produces his fragrance. And Paul concludes this passage by talking about what it means to be dying in Jesus. The dying of Jesus. To understand that, I believe that we need to go to the cross. We need to look at Jesus on the cross. And we need to ask, what was Jesus like on the cross? He was not powerful. He was not impressive. He was not significant. He was not being applauded by the multitudes who listened to his every word. No, the cross of Jesus was a place of physical weakness. It was a place of rejection by the proud and the arrogant world around him. It was a place of obscurity. It was a place where he was willing to lose everything. Everything that he had built and trust God. Trust the Father to do something with his death and resurrection. And that, I believe, is what Paul is talking about. Are we willing? Are we willing to give up all the things that make us look important to other people? Are we willing to take the place of obscurity where we get no applause? Nobody's clapping their hands for us. Are we willing to trust God to use whatever as God wills? Are we willing to give up all the things that make us look good? Paul says, those who follow Jesus are constantly being delivered to the point of death so that God's message will leak out. When people smell the fragrance of God's truth, the fragrance of God's grace in our lives, they suddenly realize that there is not anything significant about the vessel that the good news is inside of. When people see the death in us, it changes them. They suddenly realize God can use them too. It's a place where we put to death our plans, our desires, the way we think it should go, and we are born again from above. Born again to let Christ write our stories. Are you cracked today? Do you have a crack in you? That just makes you that much more qualified to be a priest for God. Are you perplexed? Are you shattering? That makes you qualified to hold the sweet fragrance of God's presence. As a matter of fact, Paul says that's the only way to let the fragrance out. It's amazing how often God honors weakness, a broken piece of pottery, and how seldom he uses the fine china in the cabinet. The fact is, fine china never gets used. I believe that God has placed us in this body as believers in Lebanon so that He might release the sweet fragrance and aroma of the gospel into this community. And a prerequisite for that is when we're in small groups. And I do believe that God brings us together in small groups. And I'll tell you why. I think He brings us together in small groups to admit that we smell. To admit where our cracks are. That's why He brings us together in small groups. It's an exercise in God's transformation. We practice here what we do out there. That's what it's all about. We come together in small groups and we say, I smell this week. Or, Frank, will you tell me where I smell? And Frank might say to me, Bruce, I saw you two times this week. The one was, I sensed the aroma of God, but the other one, you were stinking. You stank. And you know what? I praise God that Frank would say that to me. Because the purpose of the body of Christ that's on a mission is to go out there. I don't want my stink to appear in the world. I want my stink to appear in the church. But somehow in the body of Christ, we have reversed that. We say, I'm a pretty perfect flask, aren't I? Oh, I'm broken, but I'm not going to let you know that I'm broken. No, I'm going to let you think that I look pretty good. I look pretty good on the outside, right? As priests, we can only be useful to God when we offer sacrifices, right? When we come and we go on the altar and we allow God to burn away anything that would keep His fragrance from reaching others. So that's why 2 weeks ago, when the elders came together, we dealt with some stinky stuff. Right, elders? Let me have an amen if you agree. We dealt with some stinky stuff in the elders. Oh, no. You mean elders stink? Pastors stink. All you have to do is ask their wives. The only difference between my wife and you is she knows where my cracks are. And she knows where I smell. And that is what we do together in the body of Christ. So that when we leave this place, there is nothing that can keep God from doing the work that only God can do. And that is, in cracked pots, bring His fragrance forth in this world. So we're going to be inviting the whole congregation to do that. Next week, I'm going to start a series on Jubilee. Jubilee. As far as I can read in Scripture, there never has been a real Jubilee. But there is a picture of a Jubilee. It looks very similar to what Paul describes here today. There's Christ in triumph that's coming, right? Because there's a new way coming. There's a new world coming. There's a new place coming. There's a new opportunity coming. There's salvation coming as we move forward. But first, Jubilee is, I have some debts that I'm carrying. And that's what happened this week with the elders. What debts are you holding against anybody in the body? Because God has put the members of this body together. That's my understanding of 1 Corinthians 12. God has put the members of the body together, and he's given all the gifts that he needs to accomplish his purpose in Albemarle County, in Nelson County. Because it's God's purpose that we care about, not ours. God is not asking us to do anything for him. Nothing. He's not asking us to do anything for him except be broken so that he can bring wholeness to us. Let him get to our cracks. Let him get to our pain. Let him get to us. Let him get to our hearts. Let us open them up. Let us be honest. Let's admit the stink that some of us maybe have held on to for years. And I don't need to go far into my history, churches that I pastored, to say there's stink here. Because there's stink everywhere. Even in the body of Christ. The point is, can we admit it? Can we admit it, and can we reveal it in God's presence with one another? And can I allow Jeff to tell me where I stink so that God can get his hands on me? That's the whole point. Because if I don't, if I'm not willing to do that, then what do we have? We have a bunch of individual priests, right, who are unwilling to come to the altar, unwilling to make the sacrifice, unwilling to see the dying of Jesus in your life so that he can be raised in you. Unwilling to do that. And then who does all the responsibility for the ministry go on? Come on. The pastor. Let him do it. He's supposed to be doing it. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, I'm one beggar telling another beggar where to find the bread. That's who I am. I've tasted the bread. I've tasted the aroma of Christ. I've tasted what the Holy Spirit can do when there is a body that are willing to be priests together, and each priest offer their sacrifices in unison and unity. Doesn't mean we all agree about everything, but it means that we all agree one thing. And that is that Jesus will be triumphant in this congregation. He'll triumph over Jeff's junk. Hallelujah. He'll triumph over the debts that you are holding. He will triumph over anything and bring about a year of Jubilee. We are going to have on June 12th, I think it is, a day of Jubilee. A day when we can come and we can bring the debts that we're holding against others, and we can offer them, and we leave with no more debt. Whatever it is that we're holding on to that would be an obstacle to Christ living in us and working through us, because I'll tell you what happens. When a congregation lives in Jubilee, God can do his thing. And it's glorious. It's glorious what God can do. I smell the sweet fragrance of Jesus in each of your lives. I smell it. But brothers and sisters, there's history here. There's history, and we brought things with us, and Tom Musselman's here today, and there's some stink that's still left from Tom Musselman's, and some stink that's still left from Jennifer's father, and some stink that's still left from the split, and some stink that's still left from CVC. It stinks. It stinks. We have two choices. We either hold on to the stink, and we hold on to our stuff, and we refuse to allow God to get the flask broken, or we allow God to break it. Let the chips fall where they may. God can handle it. It's nothing new. God already knows it. What we need to do is confess it and release it. That's what Jubilee is. It is a release that takes us to God's purpose and God's will for our lives. And I personally am really looking forward to that. I really am. And I know there are some of you sitting here and you said, well, I don't know any of that stuff. That's all right. It's okay. You can only deal with and confess what is in your heart. So we're not asking you to confess something for somebody else. And we're not saying that Lebanon is not a great congregation. What we're saying is God cares about the future. He cares about what He wants to do. And He's looking for a vessel that is willing to be cracked so that His sweet aroma can come forth. And when that aroma comes forth, we don't have to do anything, brothers and sisters. Nothing. Just let that aroma, because it's God's aroma, let that aroma and be willing to go out and let the aroma saturate this world. Deal with the pain that's there. And bring people to the cross where they'll meet a Savior who more than adequately can not only deal with their sin, but give them a new and glorious life. So that when Jesus comes again, it's exactly what Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians. We just continue to join the Lo Triumphe! Lo Triumphe! Lo Triumphe! That's what they said. It's the triumph of God. And that's what we want to see. The triumph of God in our lives and through this body for God's glory. I'm going to give an opportunity for you to share. We're going to have a time of sharing. Any response you'd like to make to the word? and then we're going to pray. I pray right now, Lord. If someone has been touched by your word this morning, if the seed of what you're planting went deep, I pray that you would give them words for it, Lord, that they can share it. May this be a time in which we decrease and you increase. Let's share the testimony of God's work among us this morning.
Most of you know that one morning a week I've been teaching a Mexican woman English for, it's been 4 years now. And a couple of weeks ago when I was there, I felt God prompting me to share the gospel with her. And I'm really glad that I could sense this prompting, because that's new for me, to be broken enough that I could sense what God wanted me to do. So I took the Spanish Bible and some of the lot of key verses from John and shared them with her. And she already believed, and which doesn't surprise me, she's a lovely person. And I asked her, did she know that when Jesus is your Savior, that God forgives all your sins, past, present, and future? She didn't know that. So I was happy to share that with her. And then I was thinking, what should I do for her now, going forward, spiritually? And I felt like God is leading me to write a scripture verse on the index card, and take it every week and read it to her, make sure she understands it before we do our English lesson. So I praise God for this development. Her name is Brenda. If you could pray for her, that'd be great. Her husband, Juan Carlos, I think he probably believes too, but I'm not sure. So we'll see what God does with that.
Lord, right now we pray for Brenda and Juan Carlos. We just thank you for this opportunity that your priest has had, Susan has had, because you are working there. I pray that you will fill Susan with your Holy Spirit. Give her scriptures that will penetrate Brenda and Juan Carlos's heart. And do your work, Lord. Do your work in them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have a message to share real brief that when Bruce gave me jail and prison gives me breakfast, I was hesitant. But I want to share this because it was evident that God wanted me there, and I'll be sharing with Bill and Cynthia. We sit at a certain table, and there weren't no assigned seats. And at the end of it, the gentleman that preached, he preached on purpose. And the final thing that he said, Chaplain Joe got up and said, "Everybody, there's going to be a ticket on the back of your invitation thing that's sitting there." So everybody loves, and he said, "We're going to raffle off this flower arrangement right here in front of him." And he called off the number, and guess who his number was? This guy. And I was like, it was immediately, God knew he wanted me in that place at that moment for a reason, for a purpose. Jim said earlier, there's a gap that needs to be fulfilled. There's a young man that's getting ready to be released from Virginia State Prison. He's in Bland Correctional Center. He's going to Ohio. He grew up in Russell County, Virginia, which is a place very small. And he's been incarcerated since he was 17 years old. And he's now 36. So half of his adult life, he's been incarcerated. And him and I were in the cell together for about four or five years. So I got to know this man really well. And anyway, long and short, he's preparing to come home. He started a Bible lesson, and he's sharing a memory verse every day until he comes home with me through the email. And today's memory verse, he sent this morning. He said, "Good morning, brother." So the memory verse today is assurance of answered prayers. John 16:24. "Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." Have a great day. I love you, man. That's a testimony right there, what Bruce is just saying. Confession. And this young man is preparing to come home in July. So I pray that we lift him up and we show him that the love of Christ is here. You know.
I smell the sweet aroma. Fragrance of Christ.
I've heard the sermon before, and it's easy to say, "Lord, bring me." And you want the Lord to use you in a way, but it wasn't the message, it was what Susie said. When you said that I hadn't really heard God speaking until I was broken. And I think that's just a message for you too. That so often we know that God is calling us, and we just don't allow ourselves to even face the pain or allow that brokenness to come to the surface and let him heal us. So thank you.
This is where we let the sweet fragrance of Christ's presence at us. We practice here. Honestly, we practice here among people that we know love us, because when we go out there, we can't need anything from anybody. We just have to let God's sweet fragrance go through us. Anyone have a prayer this morning that you'd like to share? How about if we just go to prayer right now? You just pray. So Lord, we're coming to you. And we know that you are more than able to do what you have promised. And we're so grateful that you've implanted your word in us. We pray, Holy Spirit, guide our prayer time this morning.